There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hello and welcome to the Latest Tonight We Stand podcast in association with Betfred. It is pre-match and it is April, so that means another dead rubber for Manchester United in terms of the league, because I don't really hold out much hope of them getting top four. And there is also protest plans today ahead of the game against the club's ownership once again. It's probably sounding quite familiar. During the podcast, I'm going to speak to a Norwich fan who has managed to run all the way from Carrow Road to Old Trafford ahead of today's game. And also I'm going to meet up in the toll gate with some of the leaders of the protest from a group called the 1958. I'm going to find out what they're about and what the reasoning is around the protest today. I'm also going to have the usual chat with the sellers post-match, and hopefully they might be in a better mood than they have been in previous weeks. It's currently 1 o'clock and I am outside the toll gate, which is probably about a mile from Old Trafford. And I'm going to meet up with some lads to have a chat about what they hope to gain from today's protests and what the message is behind it, really, because obviously United have a very divided fan base and many people have tried and failed to unite it. We'll see what their plan is. Thanks.
Probably singing something.
With me, I've got some representatives from the 1958 regarding today's protest. Just a simple one, lads. What started this off?
We basically had enough of social media's toxicity. Everyone's getting like split at the seams, the biggest fan base in the world. I've never seen anything like that. You know, if we ever had a problem with the club, we're talking amongst ourselves in a pub, on the way home, on the coaches, whatever. And all of a sudden, everyone wanted to jump on the bandwagon, slaughter the club. So we pulled off social media and put a group together on WhatsApp, 20-odd Reds, and out of that, the 1958 was born. Great ideas, everyone collaborating, everyone unified, positivity, and that goes to show you what a bit of positivity can do for the club.
Yeah, is that similar to you?
Yeah, so we've got a massive passion and energy within the 58. We're all like-minded, we all love the club. Generations of our family are in the club, so we know all about, you know, the history, the traditions, the culture, about fan culture, and we want to make a difference. Nobody was stepping up. We didn't want to step up. Was hoping Musk would do that. We did actually put a tweet out for them, hoping they would be a little bit contrite and say, you know, have some accountability. We're waiting for answers. No transparency. Nobody's got a clue what's going on. So this is all about the match going fan and the worldwide fan base to get together. We've all got a common goal. It's not about agenda, it's not about factions. It's about getting our club back for the next generation and giving it them in the same state that my granddad handed it over to me.
Yeah, just to touch on that, because you mentioned Musk there. We've obviously got a real disunited fan base at the moment with different perspectives, ranging from a militant approach to boycotts. Some want to negotiate with the club, and they would claim it's achieved concessions. Obviously, it's frustrating, but how do we overcome that hurdle that everybody's got such a different idea of how to go about this?
Well, yeah, I mean, we've all got the same goal, right? We want new owners, we want the owners out, we want them to, treat the club like a football club and not prostituting it around to the next sponsor and just diluting the brand and what the club's all about, the history. It's just completely decaying. And we're not going to stand by and watch it rot to nothing. So we've got some really clever people in the 58 and we all work really well together, almost just by luck, by fluke. Everybody just works really well together, and we've got some big plans and multifaceted plans that will involve the worldwide global Reds out there, the match-going Reds, and hopefully any other kind of, you know, outlier of these factions will come along with us and fight for the same goal, which is what we want.
You got anything to add to that?
Pretty much what's just been said. I'll reiterate that in the same fashion. It is about the primary goal is to end the current ownership of the club.
Yeah.
You know, as was just said, we've been prostituted left, right, and centre. Everyone's jumped on board to make money on the back of the club. We've not bothered about on-field activities or match-going fans, even to the point where now there's a label Top Reds. You know, all this has got to stop. We're all Reds. We're all United fans. You know, I mean, yeah. I'm a Cockney Red, as you gather from the accent. We travel all around the world watching United, whether it's Euro aways, tours, home and away, and there's a unity amongst the match-going fans, and we want to be able to shed that with everyone and bring us back together. We don't care where you're from. If you're Red and you support the club in the right way, then you're one of us.
I was really interested in what you mentioned just there about getting the message out to the worldwide sort of supporters, and that was sort of a question I had for later, but do you have a message to all those like anti-Glazer supporters, regardless of the action they choose? And you know, what are the strategies to try and get to that worldwide voice?
Yeah. So everybody's got a part to play. This isn't just about the 58 or match-going fans. Everybody, sometime during this fight, this battle to get rid of these parasites, somebody will have a part to play. So if everybody does their bit and it's all on the same page, and we coordinate those efforts, then we'll make it really uncomfortable for the Glazers, really uncomfortable. And that's attacking things have been done before, but we don't feel it's been done in a targeted, organised fashion. It's a bit, almost like a scattergun approach. And we have some other things under our sleeve as well. Like I said, we have a lot of clever people in the 58, which was pure luck how we came together. And the support we've had so far has been like really humbling, for want of a better word. But yeah, we just want to unite the fan base and get everybody on the same page.
I really like that idea, because I mean, you know, over the years there's just been so many different factions of United support. Andy's article this morning touched on it as well. With regards to what's gone on so far, I have detected some anger recently directed at the players, valid anger at that, with other protests. Is that about them as well as the ownership?
Yeah, I mean, it comes down from the ownership. I mean, our analogy in the 58 is like, it's like a family, and if you've got parents in that family and you're not bringing up your siblings in the same way, i.e. the rest of the club, the players, it drips down, and that has just dripped down to the pitch. You can tell by their attitude, particularly at Everton game last week. There's a lot of us really, really angry at the way the players walked off the pitch afterwards. You know, it's about respect both ways. We will always support the club. We will always support the players, but it needs to be. We need cleaning. It just needs an absolute, you know, wrecking ball taken to the place and rebuilding again.
So, what's today's plans then?
Well, as you can see from where we are, there's quite a good turnout here. We've had the anti-Glazer songs taking place just to unite the fan base. If it leaves from here and we leave united and we take a march down to the stadium, it'd be peaceful. We want families with their kids to take part. They're the future. Yeah. You know, my boy is educated on everything from United, not just from when he was born. He knows the history. We want to carry on that. It's an education. We want them to love the club, support the club in the right way, and hopefully the end of the day is just unity and get everyone back on board. And if we can start basically piecing everyone back together again, you know, there's no reason why this won't domino and snowball effect and gather pace and momentum. And then when people see that this is for the greater good, we'll have more people jump on board, and then hopefully we've got some more vocal voices and vocal power to take the message across to the hierarchy and to anyone else that wants to listen, like your good selves.
Yeah, lads, it's been a pleasure. And just one last question before you go then. So in terms of like how long this will take, what the plan is, do you perceive it to be like a militant approach or calling for boycotts, or is it negotiation sort of type of thing?
Yeah, I think it takes as long as it takes, right? I mean, we've no idea how this will pan out. This is just a start. We know it's going to be a long battle. History tells us that with the Glazers, right? We know what they're about, but we will make it absolutely as uncomfortable as possible for them. You know, we're all about peaceful and legal protests, as you've seen from our tweets. Family, it's all about, you know, bringing the next generation. I think that's one thing that's happened in the past. It's always been about, we've not had the full generation of Reds right now, from young to old to the militants, and we want to bring all those guys together and, you know, fight the same fight, really.
Just lastly on the name, what's the reason for that?
Yeah, we thought long and hard about the name, and we appreciate that, you know, the 58 us, a lot of emotive things what happened with the tragedy, but we wanted to, you know, we have people in the family who went through that back in the day. You know, we appreciate the emotion that's behind it, but it just serves as a reminder, you know, that, you know, we have to rise like the phoenix. I know it's kind of folklore, people argue it's an eagle, we're not bothered it's a robin or a sparrow, but, you know, my granddad told me it was a phoenix on that Wembley 58 badge, and you know, we want to kind of have that as a symbol for you know, getting our club back, and you know, serving as a reminder that we can't be fleeced, we won't be taken for granted, and we'll overcome this.
Thanks a lot, lads, really appreciate your time. With me I've got Mark Laws, who's a Norwich fan from near Norwich, you mentioned. Mark, how have you got here today?
Well, today, and for the last 7 days, I've been on foot, mate. So 201 miles on foot all the way from Carrow Road to Old Trafford.
God, I can't believe that. So you've ran all the way there. How many stopovers and where?
When you say ran all the way, I ran some of the way.
Yeah.
I walked some of the way and I limped some of the way.
Yeah,
I had, so it's on 7 days. So I had six nights in the middle. So mother-in-law's the first night, my parents the second night, and then four hotels. Started this morning in Disley Grizzly, which was actually quite nice.
Right.
And then 14 miles here to Old Trafford.
And what are you doing it for, Mark?
So six charities. My brother-in-law was a diehard United fan.
Cool.
He was a season ticket holder over the years, and from Norfolk, we used to go to Norwich matches. I'm a Norwich fan. We used to go and watch big matches there. He passed away last year with COVID, 31 years old, with a 5-6-year-old son and 13-year-old stepson. So it's a real tough time for the family. So on one hand, I'm raising money for charity. On the other hand, I'm raising awareness of health, fitness, exercise, well-being. I'm not trying to preach anything. I mean, that's what I do for a living, but it's not hard. It's not rocket science. I'm just like, if someone can go and walk a mile that they weren't going to, happy days. And I've had, all the way along, I've had people who have been sort of moaning because they've now had to go and do a 5-mile run because they've seen me do 30 miles. So it's having the desired effect.
Yeah, so you know, that's a great cause. It must have got you through the toughest times on the walk or the run, or whatever you call it.
Absolutely, it did. Yeah, and I kept saying to myself when I wanted to stop, but like, would Jamie swap places with me now? And of course he would, because like he would swap one more bedtime story, one more pint with his mates, one more trip to Old Trafford for some blisters and a few hurty knees that'll die down in a few days. So him and so many others would swap places in a heartbeat. So the physical pain is nothing really.
No, that's dead inspiring, because I can't even run a 10K so at the moment. So yeah.
Well, you're gonna have to now tomorrow.
Yeah, I will. I promise. Yeah. So Norwich then. Moving on to Norwich. Become a bit of a yo-yo club recently. There has tended to be like an attempt to play a decent style, but is that working against you? What are your thoughts as a Norwich fan? How can you counter this yo-yo tendency at the moment?
I think the only, without spend too much money too quickly and you can shoot yourself in the foot further down the line, because you need like development and youth and stuff like that. But it'd be nice if we spent a little bit, just a bit.
Yeah.
Just
to
buy like one Premier League player rather than a load of nobodies. But we've got some good signings that have just come in. I like Dean Smithy. I think he's done a decent job. We're a yo-yo team, but I don't know, another 3 points today. We do a Leicester, Newcastle at home next week before you know it.
Yeah.
If you give us 3 points today, we'll give you six next year. Happy days.
Yeah. So you mentioned there about Dean Smith. Daniel Fark was sacked earlier on in the season. Was that harsh, or was you in favour of that? And are you happy with Dean Smith?
Happy with Dean Smith, yeah. He was there last week to send me off, and he was a bloody nice guy. He went above and beyond. And he's done a good job with what he's got at his disposal. Before that, Fark was sat like he was doing all right. He had just won like two games, and when they sacked him, and I sort of that might have turned. We might have gone on a bit of a run. It might have made a difference, but who knows? It's like hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it? It's sort of it. I think the decision was probably made before we got their results. With one eye, so and someone who's probably got a very good reputation for getting back up out of the championship, but we want to be a little bit more ambitious than that.
I was a bit shocked a minute ago because I detected a bit of optimism in your voice about staying up. What's the script there? Because I have to be honest, I wrote you off.
Well, mate, I've just run 200 miles, and when you start 200 miles from Old Trafford and you've got a long way in front of you, you've got no choice but to be optimistic.
Yeah.
So you probably caught me on the wrong day. If you'd have asked me if we hadn't got any points from Burnley, we were done and dusted. And even so, now coming here, what have we had, about 5 points from here in 20 years? So one win in the Premier League era. So. United are on the ropes, but they got too much class. But Newcastle at home next week, like Watford are rubbish. Burnley have just sacked Dyche. Everton, Jesus Christ, where's that come from? So you never know. Like we're bad, but there might just be a few others that are worse. I think we might have a bit of a stab at them, but I don't know.
Tell us about your shining lights this season. You've obviously got Pookie up front, who always tends to put a shift in. You've got Josh Sargent, who came from the German League. Brandon Williams, who is from this manor. Billy Gilmore. What have the positives and negatives been in terms of players this season?
I think Max Aarons, in two words, as a right back. All right, he's probably not going to walk into any team in the Premier League, but he would definitely walk into most, certainly all the mid-table teams, and there should be some top six, top eight teams just worth having a sniff around him, because he's a quality player, and bit experience at the back. Tim Krul, Angus Gunn, they've been doing all right considering they're getting absolutely peppered left, right and centre. Pookie's got some goals, a class goal at Newcastle. He can finish, he just needs better service. I'm like, fingers crossed, get to the summer, even if we don't stay up, just some wide players would be nice. Someone a little bit creative. Billy Gilmore's been a good signing. He's had a few little niggles and injuries, and he's not played quite as much as I'd like, but see what happens.
I think you know, if you did go down, and I'm, you know, talking hypothetically because I don't want to spoil your optimism, but you know, if you did, do you think that's why Norwich end up coming back up so quickly though? Because they don't tend to get all half the team poached, and they don't tend to pay them ridiculous money, so they have to sell them when they go back down.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's like, considering at the moment climate where you've got so many clubs in the Premier League that are run like businesses, where people, oh, they don't care about the football so much, they're more interested in how can we cream some money out of it for our other interests, whereas Norwich is run, from the outside looking in, it looks like it's run like a very well run club from a football perspective, and as a stable football business, not just someone trying to cash in and stick some money in their back pocket. They don't splash out stupid wages. They don't spunk money where it's unnecessary, which is probably why they're then so stable in the Championship. We're just annoying. We need another league. We're too good for the Championship, and we're not good enough for the Premier League. It's like,
no, Mark, it's been absolutely lovely chatting to you. Just tell us where we can donate to.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, so on there's a link in the matchday programme for anyone who's here today. That link will go live on Tuesday, and that's like a central pot. So if you can't decide what charity to donate to, it'll be split between all of them. But if you use Instagram or Facebook, you can find me at MarkLaws2011. I'm not fishing for followers because you'll be very, very bored very quickly, unless you're into whiskey and dogs and crap like that.
Yeah.
But in my Instagram bio, there's a link that'll take you to all six charities: the Widowed and Young, Winston's Wish, Norwich and Norfolk, or Norfolk and Norwich Hospital, Miles for Meals, and then the Norwich City and the Manchester United Community Foundation. So, most people listen to this, like the local causes, Manchester United Foundation's on there, and any penny will be greatly appreciated.
No, I have a lot of admiration for that, Mark, and well done on your walk, stroke, run. Really.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, and enjoy
your day,
future.
Mate.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Take care,
mate.
Cheers,
mate.
Bye-bye.
Governments in various countries want to control every part of your life and clamp down on your digital freedom. So it's one reason why we use ExpressVPN to protect our networks from being monitors. See, your internet provider can keep logs of your internet activity. This includes stuff like the sites you visited, how much time you've spent on them. What's worse, government can get them to cough this up whenever they want. But if you use ExpressVPN, your internet activity is shielded. Their app works by rerouting 100% of your network data through their secure encrypted servers to keep your activity private. ExpressVPN's protects you. If your VPN connection ever drops, network data is immediately stopped from entering or leaving your device to keep your privacy from being compromised. It's a kill switch that you control. All it takes is one easy tap of the button for ExpressVPN to secure all of your devices. So stop letting people spy on you. Take back your privacy and your freedom at expressvpn.com/united. If you do that, you get 3 months extra free. That's expressvpn.com/united. expressvpn.com/united.
It's post-match after a entertaining home win over Norwich, probably made a lot harder than it should have been. With me I've got Anthony Bloom and John Ashton. Lads, what did you see of it? What did you think? A lot of discussion over the team selection, but really, probably struggled a bit more than we probably should have done.
Well, John, if you start with team selection, I mean, that's where your problem comes from. I mean, I wouldn't play Paul Pogba next to Roy Keane, let alone Jesse Lingard as your two older midfielders. It was always going to create chances, but it was also going to get exposed. Started bright enough, scored with a couple of chances, a couple of great goals, but then they just completely lost control of the midfield when you needed someone to put a foot on there. What's more galling though is the fact that you've got two midfielders there and they've got about 4 months of a contract between them left. Why are they still getting games for you, Manchester United? And you've seen at the end how toxic it turned in terms of Paul Pogba. And yeah, I find the whole thing today was just, I don't know, it's just not a nice place to be, is it, at the minute? And even though you've won the game, it's a proper papering over cracks thing, and again you'll get all the usual stuff about where would we be without Ronaldo and all that stuff, but obviously he's carried United today and they've got the points, but you're talking about one of the worst teams in Premier League history, and I think they've scored eight away goals this season and they've just like got 20% of their away goals at Old Trafford in 90 minutes today.
And
he could have scored 4 to 5.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I thought they played well today, to be fair. But it's,
hey, United?
Norwich. not United, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Norwich, I'm on about. United started off all right, but again, they just lose concentration, don't they, after a bit? They're just going through the motions half the time. And looking at it again, the old place today, it was just bad tempered, wasn't it? You saw at the end of the game with what happened with that individual who I won't name because he annoys me that much, but yeah, I just want the end of the season now. It's horrendous.
You know, I sense that you're all, you know, you're all anti Paul Pogba, which, you know, I don't like him, to be quite honest, and I think that United are right to feel a bit disjointed as to, you know, his commitment and effort for the club over the years as well. You know, he's had more than ample opportunity to put right rumblings that his agent has kicked off, and you know, for me that's when I sort of think he's let United down. But are we actually creating this situation by playing him still?
Yeah, because they shouldn't, like John said, they shouldn't be playing half them lads who are out there. I know the club are probably looking at it, oh, we're still in a race for a fourth place finish and that, but it's just they're not, like, half of them out there, they're not even bothered now. I just find it ridiculous. Some of them don't deserve to be not even on the bench anymore. That's how bad it is.
The thing with Pogba is, it's glaringly obvious to anyone with half a brain that he's got no intention of signing the contract at United. He's kept them stringing along because he's Manchester United. This isn't a small club where you just say, yeah, fair enough, you know, you can announce 6 months' time that you're going to leave and go there. It's Manchester United. You'd never get away with that. He's clearly not going anywhere. He's clearly not staying, sorry. He's obviously disappearing, but he's not had the balls to come out and say that he doesn't want to stay. But after what is... I mean, we paid 80-odd million to get him back. Yeah. I mean, he should be staying and saying I'll play for free. just to give us some of the money back that he's took. He cost United about 140 million quid in 5 years in wages, and for Christ, it's just
not to mention he has his little holiday few months.
But honestly, even if he said he'd stay and play for free, I'd still fuck him off.
Yeah, I sort of agree, because I just think he's a sign now of everything that's become wrong of the post Ferguson Man United, and I think there's a couple of other players that fall into that category. But my point is that this toxicity today, you know, in my eyes, it's been created by as much as by ourselves as Paul Pogba, because why are we even playing him? You know, we've got all of these young lads on the bench. We've got Matic, who seemed really keen when he came on. Matter.
Well, because I still think there's people within the club, and especially because the way the United works, it's not like thinking to yourself, oh, we'll just get rid of him. They'll be looking at it purely from a financial perspective. They've got a £60 million asset, and the United are bending over backwards to try and make him stay, rather than just saying, if you don't want to be here, piss off. And that's what's annoying, and that's one of the things, when people say about the Glazers and they put money in this, and any other club would just say, right, if you don't want to be here and we want to win trophies, disappear. But we're not. We're purely thinking from a financial perspective. Yeah. What can we do to make sure he stays so we don't lose that 50 million quid asset off the balance
sheet? I said it before, they're looking at names. They're more concerned about a name. I mean, you look at Liverpool now, for example. They're playing hardball with arguably their best player in Salah.
Yeah,
and they're not going to break a certain wage structure to keep him. They're being firm with him. United, if that was on the other foot, United would be bending over backwards for him now. They'd offer him double what he's asking for.
Yeah, and that was the whole thing with De Gea, weren't it, years ago? It was like paying what he wants. Well, no, don't pay him what he wants, because, it creates a problem in your squad. Yeah, and I do actually have a lot of sort of admiration for what Liverpool are doing there, because, whilst it's really tempting to try and keep him, they also know that Mo Salah won't score half as many goals in another team as he does in Liverpool, because they're all suited.
Do you remember all the years, how many times did we moan about us not getting these big name players because they wouldn't break the wage structure, and you could see why what the impact of that wage structure is, because the moment you give David De Gea 400 grand a week or whatever else, your squad players then aren't looking at the market as being, the market rate in terms of what other players are on at other clubs. Looking at the market rate suddenly becomes what Manchester United are paying. Mm. So your Marcus Rashford does go, well, if De Gea's on 400 grand a week, surely I'm worth 250. Maguire goes, well, surely I'm worth... That sets the tone for it. Of course it does. And I think that's where Liverpool can see it now. And obviously people saying, well, it'll cost you more to get rid of Salah, it'll cost you more to replace him, there's no guarantees. But it's the knock-on effect that it has. That the moment you give someone that stupid amount of money, you set the bar for your future contracts that come forward, and that's what United seem to keep missing out on. It's short-termism all the time. They don't think long-term.
No.
And rather than take a hit and let Paul Pogba leave, let David De Gea leave, not sign like Sanchez, they've just carried on making the same mistakes.
Yeah
and that is, it's a big ongoing problem, because we've ended up in a situation where we've got a shit squad and, one of the worst wage bills in world football, so... how do United start getting out of that now? Do they let all of these players leave on a free? Do they start running them down? Or do they do the Barcelona method where they start, trying to reduce deals and, sort of negotiate players into lower deals?
Firm with them. I don't think United have got him at the end of the day. I really don't. I mean, the fact that there's still potentially a chance of him staying, it's unacceptable. Well,
that speaks volumes that they're obviously trying to still give him stupid money and stay. Either that, or because I can't understand, if they know he's going, why he's still in the team.
Yeah. And that's a massive problem, isn't it? Because I mean, if Paul Pogba, even if you was a Paul Pogba fan now, you'd probably be saying this has gone on too long, because some would say 2 years ago we should have offered him a deal and said, if you're not signing it, you're on the transfer list and we'll sell you to Real Madrid or someone like that, who was sniffing around him at the time. This situation has been allowed to go on now for over 18 months, hasn't it? Yeah. And it's really come to a head a bit today, hasn't it, with him going down the tunnel.
I think the problem with Pogba is, though, he thinks his stock is actually higher than it actually is. So even if United wanted to sell him 2 years ago, I don't even think there would have been that much of a queue to try and sign him for the sort of money he is. He's a YouTube footballer. He has moments and flashes of brilliant. It's possible to have brilliant ability, but without being a brilliant footballer. And I think that's what he does. He's got all the skills. He's got all the athleticism. He's got all the technique, but he's not got the brain to be a great footballer. And I don't think he's going to make that much more money by leaving United. Mm. Even though it's going to be on a free, and obviously you make all the benefits of, you know, not having to pay the transfer fee, so it goes to play. I don't think he's going to make that much more money than he would do at United. But he's got ideas above his station that he should be playing for a title-winning squad. But I won't have him anywhere near.
He's not got the will. He's not got the desire to it. Like I've said it loads, he's the most talented player at the club in terms of like everything that he has, attributes and everything. But he doesn't care. He's not bothered enough to carry on and make a difference within the team.
Yeah. Anyway, I think we've explored the Paul Pogba situation. What did you think of the match? Because I mean, my overriding feeling was I couldn't believe really the formation we were playing. Obviously, we went 2-0, which is great. Maybe people cry out for an attacking formation at home, but it was a bit mad, weren't it? Because we had nobody past that layer behind the strikers. Oh,
it was shocking, really, to be honest. Like the fullbacks, especially getting caught out for a couple of goals at least. Just everything, it was just all disjointed. It was just a classic end of season, like bit of fun here and there, but there was no brains involved, really, to be honest. I mean, like I said, Norwich played well and they were kind of unlucky not to get away with a draw, really, in the end. For that third goal, the keeping was horrendous.
You just mentioned a bit of fun then, and I think I'm keen to get both of your thoughts on this. Is it a bit of fun? Because I mean, looking at the results today,
well, all of a sudden, no.
Is it over?
Yeah,
or
yeah, well, it drags you back in because they've 3 points, and I still can't believe it.
The one thing you say against us, though, is the six games we've got, we've still got to play Chelsea, Arsenal, and Liverpool in them three games, and you won't fancy us to get that many points in them sort of games if they play like they did today. I mean, I think he's obviously got one eye on Liverpool on Tuesday night, and he's rested some of his legs midfielders, and you start if you can't play your attacking team at home to Norwich, then when can you? But I mean, that team would have been absolutely crucified against an half decent side today. Obviously, luckily you're playing the worst team in the league, and even then they should have scored four or five.
It just shows how bad this league is, barring the top two, really, isn't it? I mean, my God, I can't believe we're still got a chance of getting there. It's just unbelievable, really, isn't it?
I did say that today. I thought if Tottenham or Arsenal would have come under any kind of pressure, they'd have gone, wouldn't they?
They've got to play each other as well, aren't they, Tottenham?
Yeah.
I mean, the mad thing will be, I mean, I don't think we'll do it anyway, but if United were to take sort of 12, 13 points from them last 18 games, I think they would get it.
Probably would get it, yeah. But I do think they've got the hardest run. Yeah.
That's going to mean you're obviously going to take at least 4 points off Arsenal, Chelsea and Liverpool.
I think we've got the hardest out of the three, I reckon, haven't we?
I did look, though, and I mean, Arsenal have got Chelsea away, haven't they, this week?
Yeah. And they play each other, Arsenal, Tottenham.
Yeah.
Tottenham's got the easier running of
them. You still fancy Spurs.
Tottenham have always got a shit result in them, haven't they, somewhere like again like today, you mean? It'll almost be embarrassing to sneak into fourth, won't it?
You just won't want to, would you, to be honest?
It does show, doesn't it? Because, I mean, you know, I saw this week. You know, there's been a lot of discussion about City and Liverpool and the standard of game they brought about last weekend. And to be fair, you know, it was a great standard, but at the same time, you know, when Arsenal and even Chelsea, they've had some really bad results this year. You know, and Tottenham you saw today. Them second tier teams just behind the top two, well, not just behind, the miles behind, but you know what I mean, the next tier down, they're pretty shit, aren't they?
So poor, it really
is. A pretty average United team finished second last year. You know, Arsenal team full of kids are battling a bit, Tottenham are all over the show. You know, you can go West Ham are right up there. And but then you still look round in Europe, though, and West Ham are still doing quite well in Europe. You know, United and Chelsea got through it. I think the standard everywhere is piss poor, to be honest.
Yeah.
I just think everything's very methodical in terms of the way teams play.
Unfortunately, the two outstanding teams are the ones we absolutely despise the most.
So what? Say we top four then. What odds are you giving us if you're a bookie?
I think we're still third. I'd still make us third favourites of the three, just because of them games. But again, you just never know. I don't know. I'd say the odds are about 2-3-1.
Bloomy.
Similar, to be honest. I didn't think they'd get it anyway. But again, it's that different every week now. Like, I wouldn't thought Spurs would have got beat today because they've been on decent form, and like all of a sudden, like we're right in the mix again. So you know what? I couldn't even tell. Either way, I think it'll be embarrassing either way.
It's going to be a shit team in the Champions League from England this year.
So onto the game, apart from sort of the negatives, the fact that Norwich, one of the worst teams ever, came back from 2 goals down against us. I felt like I saw a few good performances today. You know, like maybe two or three. I saw Lindelof, I thought he played well. Ronaldo was obviously great. Yeah.
Sancho was a bit lively at times, but
bloody hell, blame me.
I don't know, no, at times.
Can we edit that bit out?
No, meaning that, like, there was a couple of chances in the first half. I didn't think it was outstanding. I don't think anywhere else.
How he's got a free pass this season is unbelievable.
I really liked Mata's cameo, me. I thought he was really energetic as well.
And wasn't hurt.
I think he should have played more this season, you know, especially considering how shit we've been.
I'm a big fan of Mata anyway. The fact that he hasn't featured, you know, even the other night when he came on, he was still the best out of the... Don't get me wrong, he shouldn't be long term, he shouldn't be there anyway, but it's been a few years too late.
He's
but
got a clever still, pass in him, hasn't
he's
he?
He's still better than most in that midfield, and I've always said that. He's got a brain rather than a lot of the others. So,
lastly, just onto the Glazers. There was obviously a 17-minute protest today, staying outside the ground. What was your view of it, selling the mag? What did you see? It seem like quite lively?
It was lively enough
numbers?
When they came out, but it wasn't massive in terms of numbers. You know, the usual chances of walking up the road. The problem with it is, and it's all well intentioned and I completely get it, but you're still going into the ground. The game wasn't live on TV, it won't get that much. And I mean, the irony will be, it will get barely any exposure. And the same people who won't give it the exposure were the ones who were moaning, saying that United shouldn't be going in breaking into the ground and this and stuff was, you know.
Yeah.
They're saying, like, oh, you know, protesting's fine, but don't take it to this extreme. And today won't get any exposure because they didn't do those sort of things. Will the Glazers be really that
arsed? I said before, they're probably asleep when that happens, so they're not going to take much notice over there, really.
It's all well intentioned, but it's all right doing it when you shine.
Yeah,
whatever happens with this club is we get a couple of shiny new signings, win three games on the bounce, and everything's well again, and people forget it. And it comes across as a bit slapped-ass rather than...
Yeah, than the actual, you know, long-term thing.
Yeah, they're having a full you know, intention of what you're trying to achieve, because it doesn't matter whether you win the league under the Glazers next year or whatever else, they're still parasitic people that shouldn't be owning the football club, and long-term will cause it damage. So you have to kind of carry it on even when things are going well, because that's what I think where we let ourselves down.
And it's interesting you say that, John, because I remember doing one podcast this year against Newcastle at home, and I couldn't really even define it myself and the way I felt, because I did feel like it was Ronaldo's first game for United. He scored two, I think. What score was it? 3-2 or 4-2?
4-1.
Was it 4-1? We won a game
4-1.
Yeah. Anyway, 4-1, and I had this real bad gut feeling after that, which I just thought to myself, I can't enjoy it as much as I want to. And it was that, weren't it? You know, you saw the queues for the Megastore for the Ronaldo shirts.
Yeah, you think we just won the league, and see that everything's rosy, and that's what it'll be like, though. You know, it'll happen again in summer. They will spend money, they will buy players to make sure you're still up there or just enough to compete for those positions where you need to be in to make the revenue.
But it'll be the bare minimum.
Yeah, of course it will. It's not even so much the signings, you know, they've spent enough money that could have been spent well. It's the people that they've got in charge spending that money that are unqualified to do so, that get given the jobs, not because they're football experts, because the financial experts, and that's where it goes wrong. It's finances over football expertise all the time. And all right, maybe they are trying, maybe they've got some different people in this, but they're just clueless. And all they're doing, right, spend a bit of money, shut these people up. And no other football club in the world of that size would put up with the shit that United have took. But it's like the club's just a bit. You know, you can tell that the 20,000 tourists there would have loved that today. And come to see Ronaldo score an action.
Yeah.
And we just bend over all the time.
Any other big club in Europe, they'd be ripping out chairs and like throwing them all over the place and doing stuff like that. It's just all a bit soft.
I'm a bit torn, me though, because John mentioned that they won't feel anything unless we boycott, and I'm not totally quite sure about that, because you know, that's in my eyes, that's never ever gonna be successful or happen. So
that's why they've got you by the balls on.
Yeah,
I boycotted for a certain period of time, and after a while you realise.
But John, it could happen for me. If somebody said to me tomorrow, you know, if you don't go in Old Trafford for 5 years, the Glazers will go, I wouldn't even think twice about doing it, and I wouldn't feel bad about doing it either at all.
There's still plenty of Glazer apologists out there in that support, though, who still buy the line that, oh, look, they've spent their money, nonsense they spout, when they don't look behind the transfer fees and the players they're signing and not realising that the club's just run a shambles. And you know, signing players is not the be all and end all of being running a successful football club. So that's the problem, though. There's not enough there's not enough clued up element in that sense. There's too many people.
It's too splintered.
It's Norwich at home, we're shite. And we talked to a guy before, he paid £500 for three tickets for the game.
And that's it, is there not tiers to it? In my eyes, there's sort of tiers to it. So, fair enough, you might go in the ground, but you don't need to buy something else. And I know we've been through all of this, and but people do. People are buying. You know, I noticed a group of people today, about 10, and 9 of them had Ronaldo shirts on. So they've all bought them this season. You know, even if you do go in the ground, surely there's other tiers to sort of protesting.
Yeah, well, that's where you've got to hit them, because match day revenue these days is not, I mean, it's nowhere near what it used to be. I think United's like 20% or something. So they're not completely reliant on match day revenue, but it's more what the image that it puts over. So, you know, do sponsors still want to pay them stupid money if you're not buying shirts? Are Adidas going to give you that massive contract if people aren't buying it? You know, are all these sponsors going to get involved if they see an half empty ground? So it's more, it's not so much the financial hit of not going in the ground, it's more the image that it portrays of the club and stops the revenue streams coming from where they genuinely are still making money and will continue to make money regardless of how unsuccessful United are, because of the size of the club and the amount of people it's involved
in. When it hit the sponsorship side earlier in the year, they got worried then, like for the training ground and stuff like that. They were genuinely worried at that point, and nothing was kept up on that.
You listen to when they do these quarterly, you know, reviews as just to shareholders. All they go on about is they go on about things like Twitter hits, how many hits they get for these signings. It's a massive deal for sponsors, the fact that how popular United are, even more so than winning trophies or anything else. What's more important is that United are just constantly getting that attention. You know, them hits, them likes on social media, likes and things like that. That's where they've got you, and that's why United are then able to sell these massive sponsorship deals, because they're putting it out. It's advertising. It's like trying to advertise when Coronation Street's on rather than Homes Under the Hammer. It'll cost you more money because people are watching it.
So how do you counter that? So obviously I hear this thing about you saying boycott and boycott the match and things like that and don't go in, but realistically, you know, they're never going to have 76,000 people boycotting. So what do you do as an individual to sort of hit that sort of money orientated thinking?
It's not, like I say, it's not just a boycotting of the ground. It's, you've got to try and boycott everything. You've got to try and make them unpopular. You've got to try and make the whole thing seem a little bit toxic. You've got to try and avert them sponsors and them commercial deals. They're where they're making the money. You've got to somehow try to hit them in that sense so that United are not a massive attraction for these people to want to be linked with a football club. How you do that, I don't know, because there'll always be somebody who doesn't really care about the Glazers or anyone else. They just want, and they'll still be attracted to the headline news.
Unfortunately,
whether it's good or bad,
there's a massive majority, unfortunately, that are not really bothered. And you saw it, you kind of saw it today as well, with like, there's a lot of people that you wouldn't usually see about today, and they're not bothered.
Corporate work.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a very, very toxic atmosphere in there today, and half of it come because there was infighting between the fans, because they're not united in a sense of what they want to achieve. Some people still think it's a bad idea to be protesting. People want to get behind the team. That's why they've got you by the balls all the time. It's so difficult to sit there and say this is the way to do it and to try to get everyone on side, because not everybody thinks the way we do. In fact, sadly, I'd say we're in the minority.
Okay, so we'll wrap it up now. Do you have a man in the match, lads? I think I do.
Paul Pogba for me. No. For United, it's got to be Ronaldo, hasn't it?
John giving Ronaldo.
Great teeth.
Three great teeth. Yeah.
He was brilliant today.
Yeah, I'll give it Ronaldo. Yeah. Not just his goals, but I thought he really put a shift in today, and his body language not as bad as, you know, maybe recent months, which I have seen drop off. But yeah, I'll give it Ronaldo too. But a special mention to two I'd like. Mata off the bench, I thought his application was great, and also Lindelof, I thought really good game despite literally no midfield in front of him. I thought he really stuck with it and dispossessed a lot of the time under significant pressure, so give Lindelof a shout too. But anyway, we'll be back against, is it Brentford at home the next game?
Yeah,
Brentford at home Monday night. I'm sure we'll have somebody on the next away game, which is
Liverpool on Tuesday.
Trying to get a ticket for that. So yeah, thanks to everybody. Thanks for listening, and hopefully, you know, we'll be back with another United win next time too. Thanks, bye.
Yeah. There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right here,
right now. Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.